Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
All right, all right, all right. Hold your horses. Everything's fine. It's totally fine. There's a lot going on these days. The show prep goes up until the last second. So, deep breath. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Hold on just 1 second while I put my mic cover on. There we go. The sheath is now over the microphone. We're all supposed to have our own individual microphone covers around here. But I'm telling you what, a couple weeks ago, I caught another host using my microphone cover. Now, it was my fault because I accidentally left it on the mic as I departed the studio. And when I realized it, I came rushing back in to grab it, and he was already talking into it on the air. That is a no-no. You must remove said mic cover before you begin your show because we share a lot of things around here. I'll share my candy. I will share my baked goods. I will even share pens, paper, notes. I share tips. I share story ideas. I do not share the mic cover.
No.
And not.
No.
Ever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is the hump show, peeps. It's our middle show of the work week. And man, coming up, I know in our area, and for me, that means New Jersey, CBS Sports Radio headquarters located in Manhattan. It's spring break for a lot of schools following Easter. And so in our area, there's a lot of buzz. A bunch of my neighbors going on vacation, going here, going there, off next week. And so I recognize that there's a big buildup to what's coming this weekend. I'm excited because my family will be visiting me this weekend for the first time since Christmas. So I'm really looking forward to seeing my brother, my sister-in-law, my two nieces. I think we're going to take advantage of what looks to be beautiful weather on Saturday. A little bit cooler, which is okay. I like it in the 50s. We're going to go hiking because that's what we do as a family. And I have not been hiking since the fall. So I'm really excited about that opportunity to spend some time with them and to go hiking in a new place where we've never explored before. Whatever your plans are, I know a lot of people, as I say, are traveling. Maybe you're hitting the road. Maybe you're hitting the road early. Or maybe you're heading out this weekend because you have time off next week. I know a lot of companies either take Friday off as a floating holiday because Friday it's Good Friday. And so there are a lot of people who go to church or have different religious observances on Friday. Or people take what's called Easter Monday, which is the chance for them to take it as a long weekend. So plenty of people out of their regular routines. I am actually, now there's a reason for it. Starting Friday, I'm on vacation. I've never done this before since I've been at CBS Sports Radio, really ever. I think the last time I took more than a week off at once was when I went to Africa, only because we were gone for, this was my previous network. We were gone for 2 weeks and it was a long commitment. So I'd take 2 weeks off from work, which I start to break out in hives. That's a long time for me to not be working. But all next week, I will not be here. And then into the following week, the first Sunday night. And part of that is because my class begins at Syracuse. So I'll be teaching for the first time ever at the college level. And my first class of the four in a row, it's four Mondays in a row, is this coming Monday. And then the following Monday, I have another class. I'll be back that night. So yeah, you'll be without me for six consecutive shows. Whatever will you do? I've also got a trip to Arizona in there to hike the Grand Canyon, but you know, this is really funny. I had a friend of mine who lives in Arizona send me a link to, I think it was checking the hiking conditions in the Grand Canyon. It's some type of a website where you can check the hiking conditions inside the canyon. And he was telling me how it's been one of the worst winters they've ever had in Arizona. A lot of snow and rain. And he told me, I don't think it's safe to hike the Grand Canyon until May. Well, I mean, that's too bad because unless they're closing the canyon, I'm still going. So anyway, planned this entire trip around hiking the Grand Canyon. And a friend and I, a friend is flying out on Thursday. We're staying near the Grand Canyon in a small town called Williams, Arizona. And then we are going on Friday. So if there's anybody else out there who plans to hike the Grand Canyon next Friday, well, you just let me know because we will be there. And so I'm taking spikes, and if I have to take poles, I'll take those too. But I'm still going. He's an older gentleman, and I think he's concerned for my safety. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, at least for this week. And then after that, sayonara. It is our hump show, middle show of the work week, which means you get to ask Amy anything. Sort of. So our new thing over the last couple months is to put the post up on Twitter and Facebook during the evening, as opposed to waiting until we get on the air at night. So we capture a different group of people who may be on social, different group of listeners and followers. And so what we want is for you to find us on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or find us on our Facebook page. And in doing so, you'll be able to spot that bright orange box. I mean, it is bright orange box. It's the signature for Ask Amy Anything. And you can go ahead, you can send your questions. And our producer, Jay, is always looking for unique questions. Sometimes we have a holiday theme. Sometimes we have a seasonal theme. Sometimes there's no theme. So whatever strikes Jay's fancy. And I swear, I do this every week, but I swear tonight I'm going to get out of the segment right before it on time so that he can get to all of your questions. All of your questions? That might be a tall order, right? We've heard from so many of you already, and we're just barely starting the show, but I want to say even before that how I have been completely blown away by your response to our show question last night. In honor of Jim Nance calling his 37th and last Final Four for CBS Sports, we asked you the most iconic and recognizable voices. So not personalities necessarily, not their track record or longevity. No, the voices. What are the voices that are most iconic and recognizable in broadcasting? And I didn't limit it to sports, though the majority of your answers were sports. I mean, you all sent us, I think it's close to 400 responses, which was pretty amazing. So we were blowing it up on both Twitter and Facebook. And I may go back and use some of your more unique answers if I can get to it. We have a lot to do tonight, so I'm not sure I can make that promise. But I just appreciate that many of you were willing to share your responses, and a lot of you kind of went down memory lane. And hey, this is from when I was a kid, or I love this broadcaster, or this is a voice. And it was awesome because there were a bunch of people that I didn't even think of that you all came up with. And eventually we had some females listed too. Probably the first 2 hours, it was all men. And then we had a few females that were listed as well. So I appreciate that you participate with us again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, plus our Facebook page. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to start with a little basketball tonight. We do have baseball, of course. Actually, no more college basketball. It's the first time in weeks where we don't have any college hoops to talk about other than Caitlin Clark, who won the Wooden Award and actually spoke about what happened with Angel Reese on the court. And so we'll get to that because she responded to the questions about Angel taunting with the, you know, pointing the ring finger and then also using the John Cena motion, the you can't see me, which Caitlin had done two games before that against Louisville. So Caitlin did respond to those claims after she won, the claims of Angel being a poor sport, being classless, showing no sportsmanship. I think people got carried away with it, and it's a little hypocritical to call Angel Reese classless and say that she's showing awful sportsmanship when Caitlin was doing it two games before that. And when Caitlin, she's been known to do a little taunting herself. So because of that, I appreciate that Caitlin spoke up And so we'll hear from her a little bit later on. But otherwise, really no college basketball to speak of. It's done. It's gone. It's in the rearview mirror. Only championship parades and visits to the White House yet remain. So we are full speed ahead on the NBA. Final few days of the regular season. The play-in tournaments, they're next week. So we've got, and we're going to start here with the NBA. We've also got some significant moments in Major League Baseball, like the first player of 2023, the pitch clock era, being ejected for arguing a pitch clock violation. You won't believe who it is, or maybe you will, since he now has 10 career ejections. Not sure what's going on with Max Scherzer or the Mets, but they're getting blasted in Milwaukee. The Phillies finally pick up their first win of the season, and we have an update on the Rangers outfielder Josh Smith, who got tagged in the face by a slider. It wasn't a fastball, thank heavens. He got tagged in the face by a slider on Monday, and it's good to hear him talking. In addition to basketball and baseball, Tiger Woods speaking at the Masters as he gets ready to tee off for the 25th time in a tournament where he has had some incredible moments. 5 green jackets, including his most recent major. In fact, his only major win since 2008 came at the Masters in 2019. And maybe it's the last one, but what a triumphant return it was. So now he's playing the Masters this year. So is Phil Mickelson. Phil skipped it last year, remember? And now Phil is speaking out about how good it is to return to Augusta National. So that's a bit of a setup. We even have some football to mix in if we can get to it. Producer Jay, just as an update, were you able to email those winners of the After Hours Bracket Challenge?
So I've reached out to only our first winner, who actually reached out to me. I have to do our 2 tie runner-ups.
Sometimes I catch Jay off guard, and I'm like, are we speaking the same language right now? Jay was not prepared for me to go to him right there. Okay, so I think what he said is that the winner reached out to you.
Yeah, he asked me, what did I win?
Okay, did you tell him a bag of jelly beans in honor of Easter?
Yeah, that's what he's getting.
Okay, well, I tell him we have some leftover chocolate here. Also, I saw a commercial recently for those Rocher Ferrer, what are they called?
Ferrer Rocher.
Rocher chocolates. We're getting those out tonight because they look tremendous.
Oh, they are.
Oh, well, why haven't we opened the bunny with the chocolates?
That's a good point. Yeah, we haven't gotten into those yet.
No, we haven't.
Wait. Yeah.
In fact, I have my thank you note for Carlos, who sent us the very large and heavy box of candy. I have to finish this thank you note so I can get it in the mail. That's me. I write thank you notes to everyone who does a good thing for me, whether it's personally or professionally. And so, Carlos, we will have a thank you note on the way to you. Anyway, we do have the Ferrero Rocher?
I believe it's Ferrero Rocher.
Okay.
Marco said it well, so we have to ask him.
Huh. Or we could just get the package. So we're going to try those tonight. I hope that if you were one of the 2 runners-up, so we had a single winner for the After Hours Bracket Challenge. We've got the 2 runners-up who tied a couple of points back. I hope if you were one of those, you heard your name last night. But if you did not, Producer Jay, we'll reach out to you. All right, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, stop me if you've heard this before, but the Phoenix Suns still have not lost with Kevin Durant in the lineup.
Wesley moves in, 18-foot jump shot, not good. Kevin Durant with the Phoenix rebound. He likes to bring it up over the time stripe himself. Now he wants to drive to the edge of the lane. 16-footers up. Looks good. Is good. Suns, Chris Paul. Paul at the baseline. Throws it out to Booker in front. Open for a 3. Shazam! D. Booker. Handling it will be Blake Wesley out on top. And they get it over on the side. 3-pointer will not go. That was put up by Champagne. Lindell with the rebound. And the Suns come away with a victory here tonight. 115-94. The Suns get the win.
Al McCoy with the calls on the Suns radio network. Did you know that 6 consecutive wins is the longest winning streak in the NBA right now? Wouldn't have thunk it, but that's what the Suns are sitting on, six consecutive wins. And if they grab just one more victory in their final three games, they have at least a four seed, which means they would have it the home court advantage in the first round. They have not lost with KD in the lineup, so they are now 7-0 with Kevin Durant on the court. So he has 27, and the Suns never trailed against the Spurs, which, good for them. They shouldn't be trailing against the Spurs. DeAndre Ayton with a double-double. And you also, I think I said KD had 27. Devin Booker had 27. My fault. KD had 18. I don't have an excuse for myself. It's the middle show of the work week. That's all I can say. It's been, I'm starting to feel the stress crunch of April. It's happening. It's all happening. And so I was a little upside down on Tuesday. I stayed up way too late and I got up way too early trying to get some stuff done for my class. But that is not an excuse for me to get names wrong. So Devin scored 27. See, it kind of fits there. And KD scored 18. And the Suns do clinch a playoff spot and are nearing in to that number four spot. Now, there's a lot more happening in the West. But it's I think, perfect timing for the Suns, right? They waited. They thought they had Kevin Durant. Then they didn't have Kevin Durant. And for now, for them to be patient, but also continue to work at what they've got here. The playoffs are on the horizon, and they certainly have unfinished business.
Just staying sharp. You know, the most important basketball of the year is here, and realizing that. So, you know, I know we in the past watched the play-in games together. And just once we realize who our matchup is, just dive into that and, you know, move forward from there. It's a beautiful thing, you know, when the game's played the right way and, you know, we have everybody on the same page, and when it's hitting on all cylinders like that, especially in, you know, a clutch part of the game, it's really important. You know, we understand that, you know, a lot of the games or some of the games are going to come down to those one or two possessions in the playoffs, and, you know, that counts.
So the Suns right now have won six consecutive games. They become the latest in the West to clinch a playoff spot. So it's Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, though those are not necessarily the seeds and how they will be. Warriors also in action on Tuesday night, but without Klay Thompson. The Lakers were in action too. And I know that we just talked about the Suns and their six-game win streak, but beware of the red-hot Los Angeles Lakers.
THT driving. He's into the two-point area. 15-footer. No good. Rebound. Grabbed by Troy Brown. He gets it to Schroeder. Schroeder ahead to Reeves. The clock expires, and the Lakers win it in overtime. 135-133. What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in. The Lakers have won four in a row on the road, and if the Warriors lose tonight, L.A. is in sixth place in the West.
Moody comes down the left wing, feeds Looney the pool. Pool, deep three straight on, got it! And ties the game at 108. Jordan hasn't had a great night, but that was a great shot. Pool in the front court, deep three on the way, got it! Just takes a couple of possessions, and when Pool heats up, the confidence goes from zero to like 200. Gilgeous Alexander makes them both. 115 all. Poole takes a quick three left side. Up and no good. DiVincenzo high in the air. Tipped it back out to Curry. Guarded by Lou Dort. Takes the three anyway. Knocked it down. Warriors go up with their largest lead. 118-115.
Well, so much for that, John Ireland. On the Lakers radio network, if the Warriors win tonight, he said, the Lakers will have the sixth seed. But they do not, and the Warriors have to do this without Klay Thompson. So he's a late scratch because of a low back tightness, something along those lines. And instead, Jordan Poole gets the start. Poole actually, not only did he have a huge fourth quarter, he had 30 points overall. Steph had 34, and now here are the Warriors, who are four games above 500 and are hanging tough. So they're out of the play-in tournament at this point. They have a half game lead on the Clippers. So it goes Warriors fifth, Clippers six, Lakers are seven, though they've got the same exact record as the Clippers. So it's very convoluted. It's very crowded in the West, but the Warriors right now are sitting in the driver's seat. And so for them, if they handle their business, now we know they're not great on the road. This was a game at home. If they handle their business, they're in good shape. we'll see. We got a few games left.
It's a really impressive group of young players, and Shea is almost impossible to keep out of the paint. So they were hitting everything, and I think they had 21 free throws in the first half, too. And we just did a better job in the second half of getting some ball pressure and picking up our intensity.
You hear Steve Kerr mention Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and the fact that Thunder, as much as they are a very young group, they are still working on a potential playoff spot right now, sitting in the 10 seed, despite the fact that they've dropped three in a row. So they're ahead of the Dallas Mavericks by a half game. But this is what we're talking about. It's very tight. The Timberwolves at one point recently had won five straight games. Now they've dropped back to the 9 spot. They do get a victory over the Nets on this Tuesday. So every game, you can either climb the ladder a couple of spots or you can drop back. Tim Roy on the Warriors radio network, and maybe a little bit later on we'll hear from Steph Curry. But yeah, they've been able to stay above the fray just a tad. Right now, they're the highest of the teams that have not yet clinched a playoff spot. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything on our show Twitter, also to our Facebook page. We are just getting started. Joel Embiid, is he the MVP? He lets his game do the talking, but his coach and his teammates, they're more than happy to speak up. Glad to have you with us on the middle show of the work week. It's the Hump Show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Embiid sets a screen. Harden rejects it. Goes to the left side. Harden with a left-hand dribble. Back out to Embiid. Dying to shoot. Embiid keeping away from Smart. Puts it up. And good. And Smart is called for the foul. Marcus Smart with a foul.
Embiid has it. Bumps him again. Throws it to the corner. Tucker open again. Another three. So they double Embiid twice. He finds Tucker in the corner twice, and Tucker hits a three twice.
Embiid has 48 points in the game, and he has the ball. Joel one-on-one spins by one man. Down the lane, and a slam. He eats up the rim. A two-hand stuff, a quick turn, a catch and a go, and a dunk. 50 for Embiid. To the corner, Tatum. He turns. He fires. It's in the air. It's just off long. No. And the Sixers win 103-101. Oh, man. Holy smokes. Sixers, immediate chalk talk. Gather around. Let's go over this. Are you kidding me?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tom McGinnis and Sean Grandy. Almost said Phillies. Sixers and Celtics radio networks, respectively. And this game went down to the wire. It was a good back and forth. And Philadelphia initially had built a lead. The Celtics started slowly, but they rallied. They were able to reel the Sixers back in until ultimately Philadelphia gave them too much of Joel Embiid. Listen to this. 52 points, 13 rebounds. He goes 20 of 25 from the floor. That is amazing. Not only does he lead the NBA in scoring, but his efficiency on nights like this, incredible. And when he wasn't able to score late in the game or didn't have the right look, he was able to feed PJ Tucker, who hit back-to-back threes down the stretch. Embiid nearly perfect from the free throw line as well. And Doc Rivers, well, he's done with the MVP conversation.
The MVP race is over. I'm really... Like tonight, we couldn't make shots. We had guys making shots, with open shots. The man just scored half our points in the NBA game. And I'm biased, but the MVP race is over.
The MVP race is over. I'm a huge fan of Doc Rivers, and I love when he speaks with conviction. He is looking around at the landscape. He's seeing the Nuggets, who've lost another 3 of 4 after losing, what was it, 5 of 6 a couple weeks ago. So they're in another bit of a slump, even though Nikola Jokic is back. Now, he did miss 3 games with an injury, calf injury. So now he's back on the court. They still lose to the Rockets. They have not clinched the number one seed. So that case for Jokic is starting to be a little wobbly. Giannis, you could make a case for him too. Absolutely. The way that Joel has been durable this year, the way that he is playing on both ends of the court, I don't know. Marco Belletti's here in studio. I don't have a vote. I would say right now, though, if I had to choose, it's between Joel and Giannis. What do you think?
Agreed, and I would probably go Embiid. Now, I don't have a vote, but I would probably go Embiid right now. Look, you're splitting hairs whenever it almost feels like you're taking a shot at the other guy, but it's just the fact that the numbers that he's put up, the efficiency that he's had, and the ability to stay healthy and on the floor, and I realize that's part of what you have to do, but I don't think the Sixers team would be, I mean, they might be playing for what? A play-in tournament spot if you took Embiid off this roster? And I realize, you take Giannis off the Bucks, what are they doing? You take Jokic off the Nuggets, what are they? Again, we're splitting hairs. I just think that Embiid has been a little bit better than the other two this season. And that's simply what the MVP award is. It's not who's the better player. It's who's had the better season. And I think Embiid's had a slightly better season than both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because how do you measure value? Is it best player on best team? Is it best numbers? Is it, hey, what happens if that guy's out? So there's a lot of different metrics that you can use. Of course, all of the Sixers are going to say Joel should win it. That includes James Harden, who's a former MVP himself. But a lot of times you see Joel put these games together. It's his third 50-point game this year, I believe, too. And he is versatile and he can hurt an opponent on both ends of the court. So that you had the fans chanting MVP as well. I love how Jason Tatum puts it. Yeah, he was the difference.
He had a good game, obviously.
Obviously.
He willed his team to a victory.
As for Embiid, he doesn't want to talk about the MVP. He says that's up to other people to talk about, but he certainly understands how big this victory over Boston.
Need it. A win is a win. It doesn't matter what we did wrong out there. And, you know, like I said, how we found ways to basically lose that game. But a win is a win.
So Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I would say, have pulled in front. Jokic, when he's out there, is averaging almost a triple-double, but he is going to be hurt by the fact that the Nuggets are going the wrong way.
It's true.
They've had so many opportunities to clinch the top seed in the West. They've been unable to do it. Meanwhile, they've got their own head coach, Mike Malone, who is calling them the S word.
Soft. Soft. They dominated us. Kick in the glass. That's all we talked about all day. That's all we talked about before the game was keeping them off the glass. They had 20 offense rebounds. I rebounded us by 8. Obviously, I had turnovers. Then they had 25 points off our turnovers. So they almost 50 points on second chance and turnovers, 62 in the paint. They were the aggressor. They were the more physical team. And really disappointed in terms of our effort and our approach tonight.
What else stood out to me about this game, specifically the fourth quarter? The Nuggets come out slow in the fourth quarter, right? So not the killer instinct, not the closer mentality. They looked a little bit like San Diego State in that 11-minute stretch where they could not score against UConn in the first half of the national championship. Denver only has one bucket in about 5 minutes or so. Meanwhile, Houston's running around them like they're standing still. I mean, Houston's a bunch of young guys. They're jackrabbits. They can jump out of a building. Houston makes them look like they're old and, as Michael Malone says, soft. And so they got embarrassed once again. And this is with Jokic. I know they're still the number one team right now in the West, but they haven't clinched it. They're two games ahead of Memphis for that top spot. Both teams have 3 games remaining. If they end up losing that top spot, oh, man. First of all, forget the MVP. He wouldn't win it. But second of all, they're going into this playing some of their worst basketball this season. That's scary for Denver because of the fact that they still have something to prove in these playoffs. I don't think they have a ton of postseason confidence.
No, they do, and this is almost actually probably a good thing and a wake-up call for them. You're coming off the win against the Warriors, so they felt pretty good about it. Obviously, it's a letdown playing the Rockets. You can't really have these situations, but it is human nature. They've got the Suns coming up. They finish off with the Kings. They have a lot in front of them to be able to make a statement going into the playoffs. You're 2 up with 3 to play. The idea that you're not going to get the 1 seed is probably far-fetched, but you got to make sure you put it away. And I think they just kind of looked ahead a little bit. They took the Rockets for granted. Houston took advantage. Mm-hmm. This is probably a good thing. As much as Mike Malone wouldn't tell you, this is probably a good thing to be able to wake them up a little bit.
Soft.
Going into the playoffs where you've already had your demons. Now it's another reason for him to, you know, be on top
go
of you.
Go with them a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, look, what are we going to do? We're going to go into the playoffs. We're going to flame out again. What are we doing? You can't even handle the Rockets. And it gets your team to wake up a little bit. So as much as this one sucks for tonight, it almost probably... It'll work out to their advantage as they move forward because this probably
that's the idea, gets them to wake up a bit. I'm not sure I'm so confident in them. The way they've played over the last 3 weeks is abysmal.
Look, I don't truly believe in the Nuggets coming out of the West because I don't think they're the best team. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's got to do with right now that their mind is not there. I just don't know when push comes to shove in a seven-game series, can they handle the Suns? Mm. Can they handle some of the better teams in the West? And right now the West is wide open because you don't know who's where and who's doing what. And
Jay swears the Warriors are going to win the championship again.
Would it surprise you?
It would surprise me because they cannot win on the road. They suck on the road, but they do have experience. And Andrew Wiggins actually is about to rejoin the team.
Right.
That's a big piece that's been missing. So if he can get his basketball legs under him again, then that's a great infusion of energy.
We got four.
And championship pedigree when games come down to it. And again, when you're facing teams like the Kings and the Nuggets in the top of the West, they play in a seven-game series. Who do you like?
Even the Grizzlies.
The Warriors mentally have an advantage over all of these teams. So the idea that they haven't played well on the road during this season will not hold water in the playoffs. It really won't.
All right.
So it's just the idea of, again, going into it. Do I think the Warriors are coming out of the West? Probably not. But it's anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they got to stay away from that play-in tournament if they can possibly do that. But there's still, you know, the Lakers, as much as we don't know, the Clippers, can they come? The Suns, I know Kevin Durant's been there for, 3 days? But we know how talented they are if they can put it together. So there's a lot of different moving pieces.
It's gonna
be
so fun.
I don't know if the Kings, the Grizzlies, or the Nuggets are ready to take that step in a wide open West.
Next week is the play-in tournament. The playoffs start not this Easter weekend, but the following weekend, meaning the full bracket. So yeah, it's coming. We're down to the nitty-gritty here. So we'll keep an eye on it over the next couple of days. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Same thing with our Facebook page. Got to get to the bottom of this new dog icon that's everywhere on Twitter. I don't know if it's replacing the Tweety Bird. It seems like that might be the case. I don't know if Elon Musk just has too much time on his hands and this is his new design. Do you have the dog on your Twitter?
I don't know.
Oh,
I usually use my phone. I don't know.
He's
it's not
everywhere.
On the phone.
He shows up everywhere now.
I didn't see him on my phone.
Okay.
So I'll look for the dog and see if
You can find the dog. He's penny colored.
So we're not sure why there's a dog.
I think it's something to do with crypto something, but I don't understand why Elon Musk would be making any type of a reference to crypto anything considering what just happened in the crypto industry.
Wait, you just said I don't understand Elon Musk.
I don't.
And
period.
There.
Yeah, I can.
And
I definitely
there.
Do not.
Yeah. I didn't know about the dog.
Billionaires are eccentric. They think they can do just about whatever they want. So maybe it's a new experiment, but yeah, there's a dog everywhere I go on Twitter now.
Did that replace the check mark?
No, I still have my check mark. My check mark's hanging tough, man. It's hanging tough.
Oh, I thought those were all going
to
go away.
I did too. Maybe they haven't gotten to us yet. We're so far down the list that they haven't gotten to us yet.
All right. Yeah.
So we'll see, but we're monitoring. Mm. All right, so on Twitter, on Facebook, questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up top of the hour, a surprise. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
In one to Manny, here's the pitch from Gallen and a swing and a miss. Good curveball and the count is full.
In the case of Seth Lugo, his job is to try to throw those balls in the same tunnel, but they're not going to spin the same out of the hand, and the quicker you can pick that up.
Manny's just been called out for an automatic third strike. He called time, and now he and Ron Culp are discussing it. Bob Melvin's coming out, but this is not reviewable. It's not going to change. Manny has just taken an automatic third strike. They tell us you can't argue these pitch clock things the same way you can't argue balls and strikes. Manny asked for time, didn't get it, and the conversation is continuing a little bit more calmly now around home plate. I think it's Bob that's been tossed.
Well,
by the way, it
Manny.
Might have been Manny.
I think it's Manny that got tossed.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
It was absolutely Manny Machado who got tossed. First player in the pitch clock era to be ejected for arguing a pitch clock violation. Machado swears that he was well within the rules when he asked for timeout.
I have no idea. I'm just doing what the rules are said. I had 8 seconds to call a timeout. I called it at 8 seconds. He did not give it to me. And, now I got struck out. Hurt my team by coming out the game and getting tossed there. And, I feel like I didn't do anything wrong. I called 8 seconds. The rules are you got to be in there. You got to be engaged in the pitch. If you're not engaged, you call your timeout and you take your timeout before 8 seconds. If it's after 8 seconds, seven, obviously it's you get penalized for it. But, I called it, as you can see, and everyone's seen.
As you can
my
see.
Hand was up at 8 seconds for my time, and I guess I wasn't good enough to get awarded for it.
Oh, I wasn't good enough. A little bit of a jab there, a little passive aggressive. I wasn't good enough to get awarded for it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Machado has been ejected 10 times in his career, this being the 10th time, for arguing balls and strikes. 10 times for arguing. In this case, it's not balls and strikes. It's about the pitch clock violation. And he tried to have a conversation with the umpire about it.
I heard time. So I was like, okay, there's my time. And I stepped out the box and I was and then he came up to me and said, like, yeah, you're out. And I was like, but I just thought you granted me time. Wasn't really sure there. It kind of got me confused there because I looked up in the box as soon as I stepped in. I looked up, I had 10 seconds. By the time I went back and looked at him, I put my hand up right in time to get my time, and I was going to go on, and I heard time, and that's what I thought I got. And then, I heard differently after that. So, I just don't know.
I don't think he maybe saw it in time. I thought he did, and Manny obviously thought he did, but you're going to see some of that. And unfortunately, it was a strike three.
New information. You cannot argue a pitch clock violation, just like you cannot argue balls and strikes. And if you do, you are taking your playing status into your own hands. I suppose it doesn't help. Everyone cranky after the fact because the Padres blew a 4-run lead and lost to the Diamondbacks at home. The call there on the Padres radio network. So, yeah, no need to go all panicky, but now be forewarned. If Machado can get tossed, even after he felt like he heard time and the umpire's not going to listen to that and doesn't happen to listen to that, as much as it may feel like this is a new implementation, there should be some grace. There should be a little leeway. There should be a benefit of the doubt here as athletes, both pitchers and the hitters, get adjusted to it, trying to remember, hey, there's a clock. It's my 8 seconds. He said that he called his timeout and he heard time from the umpire, but then ultimately got tossed anyway. And it was a called strike three, which adds insult to injury. So everybody's getting adjusted to it in Major League Baseball, some more willingly than others. If you haven't sent your questions for Ask Amy Anything, we've got a spot on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Also, and I know I promised you this on Sunday night and I didn't do it, so please forgive me. We get just crazy busy when we got championship events like we did both Sunday and Monday. I don't really have an excuse for myself. I'm pretty sure it's become an addiction, and yet I'm not sorry about it. I cannot stop taking photos of the brand new flowers in my yard every day. More of them open up. I'm blown away by the bulbs and the way that they multiply. So I probably have twice as many daffodils as I did a year ago. They're much healthier. My crocuses, my grape hyacinth, for those of you who are flower lovers, they are such gorgeous subjects. They are adorned in incredibly vivid colors. And so I'm going to retweet here on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I promised that I'd put photos up on Facebook earlier in the week. And then I need Jay's help to do it. So we just got busy. You guys have got to check out my daffodils that are not your typical yellow. It's a vibrant yellow, but these are not your typical yellow daffodils. They are white with orange centers. I know you're thinking about it. You're wondering what? Jay, Tell people how beautiful they are. Go ahead.
They are.
And this is a boy. This is a boy. I'm sorry. This is a male. This is a male. He's not a boy. This is a male saying it. He sent me a text back with all kinds of emojis and exclamation points.
Especially like this early in the spring, they were refreshing to see that they're coming in so nicely. They were really nice, I will say.
Yeah, beautiful. And I think last year this clump only had three or four of them, and now there's probably a dozen. It's incredible how these bulbs migrate and multiply. So if you want to find them on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I just retweeted. Like I said, I promise. I know. I try to be one of those people who always keeps my word, and I did not keep my word when it came to posting the flower photos on Facebook. So I apologize for that. I swear we're going to do that. Top of the hour, we have a surprise guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I'm really looking forward to you hearing from him again. Real quickly, this was a story we told you about last night. It looked scarier than it was, apparently, when Texas Rangers outfielder Josh Smith got tagged in the face by an 87-mile-per-hour slider on Monday.
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but really no pain or anything like that, so that's good. I just kind of remember it hit me. I hit the ground, and I just kind of, I just saw blood kind of pouring out, yeah. And so I was like, oh, gosh. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I didn't really want to stay on the ground, like, kind of too long, so I just tried to get up and just get off the field as fast as possible. Just I don't know, but it happened quick, but our training staff did a really good job.
Blood was gushing out. Not something that you ever want to see really from your own self, your own physical body, or anyone else's, to be perfectly honest.
Totally fine.
It's not totally fine, Aaron. That was highly inappropriate. It was not totally fine. So that, just to hear Josh say that, was a little jarring, but I am glad that he is feeling better. And that, honestly, I actually thought I saw that he did not have stitches. He didn't need stitches, which is wow. So yay for that, dodging a proverbial bullet in the form of an 87-mile-per-hour slider on Bally Sports Southwest. So smorgasbord in this first hour, from the NBA East and West to a couple of Major League Baseball storylines. We're going to take a bit of a detour in our next segment after the top of the hour. Don't miss it. It is a surprise. It's our Hump Show. Glad to have you with us here after Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.